The Gospel lesson is found on page 905 in your Bibles. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Luke. Glory to you, Lord Christ. One of the multitude said to Jesus, "Teacher, bid my brother divide the inheritance with me." But Jesus said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or divider over you?" And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of all covetousness, for a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought to himself, 'What shall I do, for I have nowhere to store my crops?' And he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Heavenly Father, we are grateful that we can come together as your people to worship you this morning. We come bringing you praise and glory and honor, for you are worthy of those things. Father, as we come, we also seek to meet you in this place, to recognize your voice, to see how your hand is shaping us and molding us as your people. Do that work now, even this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, you have probably heard the question before, imagining that your house was on fire and you had only time enough to grab three things to carry out with you. Here's the question: what three things would you want to take? I'm sorry, you all can't see it. Aaron just shot his hand up in the back row. He wants to. You can tell me later, Aaron. All right. Well, it is a hypothetical scenario for us to ponder this morning. It can be somewhat telling about what we consider important. Some people may choose certain family pictures to take along. Others may choose certain family heirlooms. I heard one person declare the three things would be me, myself, and I. I suppose we could make reasonable sounding arguments for wanting to grab all kinds of things. The checkbook, because bills will still need to be paid. The file of legal documents and official papers, or the computer with all those files that would be hard to replace. Special mementos tied to special memories we want to never forget. But let's kick it up a notch. Supposing you were already outside with your family and your pets, your pet turtles there, you all made it out safely, you're out there. What possession would prompt you to risk your life going back into the burning house to retrieve? I'm not sure, but I'm guessing for most of us the list just got significantly smaller. One way or another, this kind of exercise makes us pause to think about what is important to us, to identify priorities, maybe even to come to terms with the focus of our life. Well, at the beginning of today's gospel lesson, there is a vague reference to someone in the crowd. As I thought about that, it occurred to me that this could have been most anybody. Because the person is not identified with specificity, we know nothing about his age or his economic status or political affiliations or anything else. In other words, he could have been just like you and me. Well, this someone had an urgent request for Jesus based on what seems to have been a real issue in his life. The issue had to do with the family inheritance and his brother's apparent lack of expediency in making the appropriate distributions. It seems the brother was the executor of the family estate, and he was not executing things in a timely way. Because this someone viewed Jesus as a recognized rabbi with spiritual authority and discernment, he sought Jesus' help, saying, "Teacher, make my brother give me my money." Well, it's interesting how Jesus responds. Rather than entering into the fray of the family hassles, Jesus recognized the need to address something more important. The man perceived his greatest need to be a matter of wealth distribution. Jesus recognized the greater need to be a matter of priority distribution. But knowing this to be a serious issue for so many people, Jesus made a shift from addressing just the man to addressing the broader audience of the whole crowd. Verse 15, we read, "Then Jesus said to them," to the whole crowd around, "Beware and be on your guard against every form of greed, for not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions." In the category of full disclosure, I want to share, the past few weeks, I think I've watched more episodes of the TV show American Pickers than in the past few years. If you don't know it, that's the show featuring Mike and Frank, along with Danielle, Robbie, and others who drive around the country looking for what they call rusty gold. Well, watching it, I've been astounded by how many people have building after building, barn after barn, full of stuff that they never use, but simply possess. They call it collecting. Here's the full disclosure part. I find that as I watch that show, I can get drawn in to the idea of collecting. Thinking it would be fun to have a cool collection of something. Note what I'm saying. I'm not intrigued by a particular item, interested in collecting various models and styles of that item. Rather, I'm simply caught up in the thought of having a cool collection. Rather than the intrigue of items, I'm captivated by the attitude of accumulation. There can be a fine line between those two perspectives. Knowing you have crossed the line when you answer the question, "How much is enough?" by saying, "Just a little bit more." The parable Jesus told the crowds fits the situation. I think it is probably safe to assume Jesus discerned the man from the crowd to be like the man in the parable. But Jesus also knew just about everyone in the crowd struggled with the same thing at one level or another. That struggle being with the importance placed on material possessions, which amounts to greed. A critical issue because, as Paul reminds us in today's epistle lesson, greed amounts to idolatry. We'll come back to that. We heard the content of the parable describing a rich man who had too much stuff and not enough storage space. His one solution was to tear down his existing barns in order to build bigger ones to store even more stuff so he could keep it all. In his mind, then life would be swell. The conclusion of the parable is where we get the wake-up call from God. The self-satisfied man who was not truly satisfied with himself was confronted with a ludicrous focus of his life. In verse 20 we read, "But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your soul is required of you. And now who will own what you have prepared?" The foolishness of this man's life focus was identified by God in light of the contrast between temporal and eternal treasures. I can imagine the man in the parable having a bumper sticker on his donkey that says, "He who dies with the most stuff wins." In a graphic way, the parable points out that not only did the man not win anything of any significance, he actually lost everything that truly matters. As the prophet Hosea warned the people of Israel who turned away from God to seek the things of the world, they would lose all they hoped to gain. He wrote, "The sword will whirl against their cities and will demolish their gate bars and consume them because of their counsels." As the repeated refrain in today's psalm puts it, "Man in his pomp, yet without understanding, is like the beasts that perish." So here, God speaks to the foolishness of the man. "This very night your soul is required of you, and now who will own what you have prepared?" We are given the contrast between the limitations of possessions and the richness of God. On seeking how to apply this teaching of Jesus to our own lives, it's important to understand that it's not just about implications following our death, but it is about the focus of our life here and now. As Paul wrote to the Colossians, "Because we have been given new life in Christ, we are to live out that life in new ways." Rather than being caught up in the purely materialistic focus of the world, we are to set our minds on the things above. That is, we are to focus on the priorities of God. Choosing any other focus in place of that is idolatry, as Paul points out, because it is putting something else in place of God. Instead, we are to put on the new self who is being renewed to a true knowledge of the one who created us. See, for us to seek the treasures of God involves seeking God Himself. In redeemed fellowship with our Heavenly Father, we will seek to live according to His ways. We'll seek to learn His principles by spending time in His Word and in prayer and worship. Even when it costs us time and energy diverted away from what may seem to be more pleasurable worldly pursuits. We will walk according to those principles, empowered by His Spirit living in us, even when it costs us worldly achievement or personal advancement. We will seek to promote His ways in the world by serving Him as He equips and empowers us to serve in ministry to those in the church and in the world, even when it costs us worldly derision and ridicule. Not building a celestial account for our personal spiritual debit card against which we can pay off the bad with the good. That's not what it's about. But simply choosing to invest our lives more in things of eternal value rather than just the stuff of this world that is going to rot, rust, and decay. Focused on God, we invest in the purposes of God, coming to see the eternal treasures of God as our lasting inheritance. Just this past week, I received the current edition of World Magazine introducing their annual Hope Awards nominations. As Marvin Alasky explains, during the past year, readers nominated 200 small Christian groups that offer challenging personal and spiritual help. Through research and interviews, we eventually narrowed the field to 10 contenders, two from each of four regions in the country, plus the international category. Following visits to the 10 sites, that list has been narrowed to five finalists. with articles on each presented in the current issue. Readers will now get to vote, with the winner being announced in September. It's interesting to look through those articles. In each case, but in different ways, each of these ministries is investing in godly priorities in order to bring hope to people caught up in the darkness of the world. From recovering addicts to women who have previously sold their bodies, to children of prisoners, to those who never have had career training, to people who are homeless. The title of the first article, capturing it well, Hope in the Darkest Places. Well, folks, we may never have an article about us published in World Magazine, but that does not mean we cannot invest in God's priorities in our individual lives or in our life together as a parish. It was about 20 years ago when parish leaders were looking at the open space on the other side of the parking lot out here. The question being considered was whether or not to build a new building to help accommodate growing numbers at the time. Well, instead of a new building, the decision was made to use the space to plant a new garden in order to grow vegetables to assist the soup kitchen in Norristown. We decided to use our resources to serve others in ways that bring them some measure of hope. It was about 2.5 years ago that we were looking for ways to bring hope to those caught up in the worsening opioid crisis. That led to the providential provision of meeting space for the NA group Serenity Sisters, which still meets here every Tuesday evening. And now this month of August, making our space available for a Friday night in a group temporarily displaced. What are we doing? We're using our resources to serve others in ways that bring them some measure of hope for today. And in September, possibly adding a local brownie troop to the list as they seek to positively shape the lives of young girls. Indeed, you all know this. Through the years, we've made ongoing investment through participation and support of numerous other ministries, such as Genesis Crisis Pregnancy Care Center in Pottstown, Project Outreach at Frederick Douglass Christian School in Chester, World Vision, Heifer Project International, the Tanzanian Diocese of Western Tanganyika and Tabora. What have we been doing? We've been using our resources to help bring hope to others in need. A hope grounded in seeing and knowing God through faith in Jesus Christ. In all those ways, we are choosing to focus on faithfulness to God rather than the foolishness of our own material comforts. It does involve some measure of sacrifice in the moment, but the benefits are eternal. So let us keep seeking God and the opportunities He gives us to bring His hope to the world around us, individually and together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for the abundance of provision that we have known in our lives. Father, sometimes we might get caught up in feeling it's not quite enough just yet. We need a little bit more. In those moments, give us your eyes to see what we already have. And help us to recognize how we can use it, not just for our own sake, but for the sake of furthering your kingdom in this world. Father, move us through the power of your Spirit to respond faithfully to your call, whatever that means, knowing that we are serving your purposes of bringing hope to those who may yet still live in dark places. Let us be bringers of the light of your hope. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.